presence here. Bless each one of us, all of our employees, and all of our families, and all of our servicemen serving abroad. We ask in Christ's name, amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number one, public comments. By the way, we are meeting for a special call meeting today here on the first Monday of the month, as opposed to second or fourth. And we're specifically going to be dealing with some health insurance decisions today, but it is 1:30 p.m. on the third day of December 2012. The meeting was posted appropriately. Item number one, public comment or request for information on non-agenda items in accordance with Section 551.042 of our Texas Open Meetings Act. Anyone have anything? Item number two, comments, if any, by CAPS Insurance Commissioners and Judge related to the county's partially self-funded insurance. Steve, I know you'll have some comments, so you don't necessarily have to jump in here, but I kind of wanted to reserve a little bit of time after each of these gentlemen up here have had a chance to digest a couple of rather lengthy workshops from last week on this subject. If you have any comments that you would like to make to begin, I've got a few comments I'd like to make, but I'll start on my right side. Commissioner Boggs, anything that you would like to discuss to begin?
No.
Fields?
No.
Commissioner Hinton? Commissioner Hoppe?
No.
All right, let me just, I hope a brief statement. We've just completed two lengthy workshops devoted to analyzing our county health insurance. Each member of the court has a much more thorough understanding of the components. I'd like to recognize Commissioner Boggs for beginning this process in the summer of last year, in which time the county hired Renson Benefits to evaluate our plan. Renson pointed out some significant cost savings opportunities. We considered hiring Renson to be our health insurance consultant, but in the end decided to keep our current provider and continue without a consultant. Health First, our provider at that time, as well as at this time, produced some significant cost savings to us. So indeed, the competition worked to our advantage last year. In September of this year, the court sought proposals for a health insurance consultant once again. After meeting with four different companies to evaluate their proposals, we decided to hire CAPS Insurance, a local firm to handle the job of consultant. It would be CAPS' job to make recommendations for our third-party administrator, stop-loss insurance coverage for larger claims, and a plan design that addresses the specific employee benefits such as deductibles, co-pays, and prescription drugs. Titus County currently has a partially self-funded health insurance plan, meaning claims are paid with county funds rather than paying more traditional monthly insurance premiums to a large company such as Blue Cross. As a result, when claims are numerous and or large, our payouts exceed our expectations and we have to draw additional money from our fund balance. When claims are small and or few, we do better than expected and produce a surplus that can be carried over to the next year. Each year is an estimate. Unfortunately, the 2011-12 budget year was not a good one for our self-funded plan. Several large claims have caused us to far exceed our expected claims. Hiring CAPS as our consultant has afforded us better bargaining power, more options, and numerous cost-saving suggestions to partially offset these additional claims. As everyone knows, rising medical costs have caused many individuals, companies, and governmental entities to look for ways to save money on health insurance. Most have experienced higher deductibles, higher co-pays, and higher drug costs to be able to offset rising premiums. Titus County has continued to provide a very rich health insurance benefit to our employees. A $600 deductible, a 90%, 10% co-payment, underpriced employee contributions for coverage for a spouse and or children, and a liberal policy that allows us deductible, the copay, the amount paid for drug costs, things like this, which can result in some fairly substantial cost increases or reductions to the amounts that cost to the county. So I think I'll turn it over to Steve. Steve, you can kind of review for us in whatever format you want to, some of the things that we've discussed.
First of all, thank you so much for allowing me to work with the county to negotiate, we'll call it negotiate the best deal that we could. It sometimes seemed like it was a little bit more aggressive than just negotiating, but the good news is that no matter what you do today, you're in a much better position than when I initially looked at your account on what I had expected. So after evaluating your plan design, and I know we need to talk specifically about plan design right now. Tony and I sat down and we looked at some of the things that have the greatest effect on your claims. And while not making a tremendous move as far as benefits go, so we had proposed, which all of you are aware of, moving your deductible from 600 to 1,000, changing coinsurance from 90% to 80%, adding an emergency room copay, but then offsetting some of those what would seem to be like negatives with a couple of positive things, increasing preventative care benefits to 100%. I want to encourage your folks to seek their annual exams and those kind of things and catch major things before they actually happen. And then also reducing your generic copay to $5 from $25, encouraging your employees to make better use of the generic benefits. Now, that, through all of our proposals, that was the, when we applied all of those benefit changes, that did get us, surprisingly, almost back to a flat renewal, which was really pretty shocking, to tell you the truth, that we were able to get the carriers fought over your business enough to get that back down to nearly a flat increase. I would have expected 20 points on top of it with your claims experience. So after it's all said and done, no matter what you do, you're in better shape than what we think you would have been. So are there any questions as it relates to that? I know we had some discussion in our workshops about maybe not being quite as aggressive on the benefit changes. And when we kind of go in between, backing off to a 750 deductible instead of doing the 90% coinsurance, I mean 80% coinsurance, staying with the 90, and reducing that emergency room copay from 250 to 100, keeping everything else pretty much the same. Then that changed our numbers significantly and points us more clearly to the third party administrator that I've already recommended. So anyway, any questions as it relates to benefits or this particular motion that you have before you? Good.
How do we compare, generally speaking, with other plans? I made a statement that we had a rich plan, okay, and I think we've had this discussion enough to know, but I do want employees to understand, and so many of them have never worked anywhere, but Titus County, or if not ever before, had health insurance. It's easy to lose sight of what's going on out there in the rest of the world. You know, I know when I was paying for my own insurance coming out of a self-employed situation, I had a $5,000 deductible. I had a 70% copay, and on and on and on. What are we seeing happening in businesses and other governmental entities, and are we still very competitive?
Okay, as it relates to just your benefit plan, you're very competitive. And I don't, you have to make a decision when you combine it with salaries and all the other vacation time and everything else as far as that goes. But as far as we're talking, as far as the benefit plan that we're talking about, it's very, very competitive. Either the proposed 750 deductible or what I had proposed of $1,000 deductible, both very, very competitive. We are, it's very commonplace to see $2,500, $5,000 deductibles. And as far as your out-of-pocket amounts goes, they're very, very competitive. There's not one thing that we recommended, no matter what you wind up doing, that would cause an employee to seek employment elsewhere. Okay? There's nothing there that would give them any inclination to do such a thing. Very competitive with the other employers in town as far as benefits goes. I mean, very, very rich plan. Very, very rich plan. And that's one of the reasons I think you have a high participation from your dependent population on here. We have good plan, and the contributions that you're asking your employees to make on behalf of the dependents are relatively low.
You said that if we made those recommendations of $1,000 deductible and 80-20% copay, we could have basically no increase over the prior year's cost.
As a prior provider, and when we talk about no increase, we're looking at the worst case scenario. If you maxed out all the way across the board, which is kind of what we use as the baseline, you wind up at about 1% increase over where you were last year. If you were to change providers and go with my recommendation, then it winds up being worst case scenario about 6%. So, and that's, you basically have to do all of those changes before you can get back to pretty much a flat removal. Okay, if you go somewhere in between and then you lose, I mean, you're gonna have a little bit of an increase. And that would just be up to you, whether you want to keep your benefits a little bit richer and pay a little bit more. So, but when you do that, which we talked about, it really, when you back off the 750 deductible, it pushes you, the numbers really change in favor of the UMR United Healthcare proposal.
Questions, comments? Motion? Again, for those of you in the audience, these are not, I'm not asking them questions that we haven't spent a lot of time already going over. And although we were getting close to a consensus last Friday, the commissioners have had the weekend to think about this and solidify their thoughts. So I honestly don't know what they ultimately decided on. I've got a pretty good idea, but if anybody would like to share your thoughts on that, this would be a good time. And whenever you're ready, we need to make a motion, I suppose.
Do you want the motion to all be signed?
Deductibles.
Well, Steve, I think that Steve could probably bust those out on a component by component basis, although he's presented us a summary here with the assumption that he's kind of grouped those according to a three-tiered option. Either stay the way we are, either go to his original recommendation of $1,000 deductible, an 80-20 copay. Those were the two major components, and then the third option was to go split the difference in there and go to a $750 deductible and keep the copay at 90/10. So I would think we could package this any way that you want. If you would like to, if you've got something that deviates from these options here.
I would like a motion to go with the 750, 960 on the copay, $100 on the
Anything you want to explain on those? Again, it's a $750 deductible up from $600. The copay, meaning the insurance company would pay 90%, the employee would pay 10%. If the employee opted to go to the emergency room, they would have to pay $100 rather than their typical $25 office visit at their physician, hopefully steering them away from unnecessary emergency room visits. You had originally recommended $250. The court felt that was perhaps a bit punitive. If somebody really needed to go to the emergency room, we don't want to stick them with $250. Hopefully the $100 will be enough of encouragement and incentive to cause them to wait till the next morning, or lowering that to $5. That's a significant reduction in cost to the typical employee whose most of their expense medically wise is going to be related to prescription drugs. So what we're asking them to do is partially offset, I think, by that generous $5 generic drug.
Also, your preventative benefits.
And your preventative benefits will be paid 100%. That covers a colonoscopy every 5 years. What else?
Well, what we're doing is matching it up with what the proposed essential benefits from the health care law is. And it's pretty broad. I may not be once every 5 years colonoscopy, teens every 5 years on colonoscopy, but it's much better benefits than what you have now. So there's definitely an improvement there. Anybody that's taking very many prescription drugs will make up the difference in the deductible very quickly if they're taking generic. So.
All right, I have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Hockaday to go with, as far as plan design, just like I laid that out. Second by Commissioner Hinton. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. All right, let's back up a step from item four. We'll go to item three. Consider and possibly approve the selection of a third-party administrator, the related network and stop-loss insurance coverage as it relates to our insurance plan. Will you briefly explain what we're talking about?
Sure. Okay, if you go to your third page in your spreadsheets, at the top of the page says 750 deductible plan design. Okay. We visited a little earlier, but right at the bottom of the page, three columns there. One is your current carrier. All those numbers there are what you paid last year. All right. And as we talked about, your renewing carrier was not competitive, so we didn't even spread them. The next column is the UMR Sun Life proposal, which is UMR's wholly owned subsidiary of UnitedHealthcare. You would be utilizing the UnitedHealthcare network. Third column, of course, is your current provider with the stop-loss carrier Optum. And if you go to the, let's just go on down to the bottom of the page, you see maximum total liability with the UMR Sun Life proposal. You can see with your all of your administration estimated claims for your dental and your life insurance and all of your stop loss insurance comes up $1,844,448. That equates to about 8% increase over what your worst case scenario was last year. Okay. In the next column, you see that your current provider, HealthFirst, with their Optum stop loss quote is a total of $1,959,247, and that represents about a 14.9% increase over what you paid, or what worst case scenario was last year. Okay, so it is my recommendation, which we've already visited about, to make a TPA change to UMR and buy your stop loss insurance from Sun Life, who is currently also providing life insurance. So the middle column there would be my recommendation. I would like to say too, though, that your current provider worked very hard to retain the business. I had an excellent working relationship with Kirk Hopkins there. They were very forthcoming as far as information goes. Did not have any issues there at all. Would have been very pleased to continue working with them. The advantage, I believe, of course, with this particular plan design, they have an advantage. Their numbers are an advantage too, and put them ahead of your current provider. But the biggest thing, I believe, is the utilization of the UnitedHealthcare network, where we will be getting larger discounts at most of the facilities that your employees are using, with the exception of East Texas Medical and Tyler and maybe Pittsburgh. Okay, so the discounts might not be the discounts shown may not be quite as great with UnitedHealthcare as opposed to what you're getting right now discounts just not aren't nearly as great as it will be under the United Healthcare Plan. So we feel like overall claims experience will just the even if you have the same number of claims, and the same amounts or same occurrences, that the total dollar amount will be less under the United Healthcare Plan than you would have had under the Health First Plan. So anyway, so that's my recommendation to UMR, Sun Life, stop loss, and utilize the natural fit to work.
Make a motion to go to UMR, Sun Life.
I'll second that. Motion by Commissioner Hockenbillion, second by Commissioner Ball.
No question. Now, they was talking about this. You did say that the Texas Medical Center of Pittsburgh.
Oh, it is a network, yes.
Is it?
Yes, it is. Yes, sir.
And again, one of the benefits that I personally saw in making the change to UMR was we are giving up some very good, strong discounts if one of our employees decided to go to Tyler, East Texas Medical Center. Some very high discounts. Although locally and in the areas that our employees seem to be going, Baylor, MD Anderson, Paris, Texarkana, Mount Pleasant to Titus Regional, we get significantly better discounts than we were getting with our current carrier.
That's correct. Okay.
Well, that will be another significant improvement in benefits to our employees.
Well, I think so, because especially when you start having co-insurance, okay, if you're paying a percentage of a smaller amount, then that's out of pocket for people too.
Right, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor of selecting UMR Sun Life as our third party administrator and provider of stop loss insurance, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? There are none. All right. Steve Capps is trying to leave town, heading for Brazil, and literally he has a bus leaving in 5 minutes. These last two items will probably more than adequately be taken care of by Tony. I don't expect any action today on these, but I would like a brief minute of discussion. If you need to go, I'm personally prepared to allow you to go, but if there's something that you would like to
do, I'm okay. 5-10 minutes, if you have any other questions. Sure. Okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve. Right. Have a great trip. Steve, go on a mission trip to Brazil.
Have a good one.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes. In a week or so. Okay.
We're right up here to the microphone.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking to leave too.
Considering possibly approve any changes to the employee contribution levels for dependent coverage as it relates to the county's insurance. Here we are talking about how much do our employees pay if they want to cover their spouse and or a child or children. The county provides 100% of the coverage to the employee, but if they opt to add husband, a wife, child, or children, they are required to pay for that. But currently, as you have so carefully pointed out to us, we are probably not probably, we are not anywhere close to charging our employees, spouses, and kids the appropriate amount compared to what it's truly costing us.
Correct. And we discussed in the workshop, and I think y'all pretty much reached an agreement. This might be something that you want to reevaluate as the year goes by and have a plan in action to maybe get you more in compliance with what is not only more acceptable, but as your auditor has pointed out, more in line with just some of these claims are producing a lot of stress, I guess, on the county. And by having the dependent costs increase just a bit, is going to help relieve some of that stress. Y'all have sort of a unique rate structure. structure, and we're not going to suggest that you change that this year, just simply because too much change at one time is always a threatening thing. But just to look at the thing that you've got now, and possibly, I think y'all had discussed adding $15 to each of those rate tiers. One thing I will bring in to point to you is your Colonial folks have already been here, and they've already done your salary reduction agreements for this year. I'm going to have to get in touch with Ron and get him to redo the salary reduction agreements, because that's the thing that they do as your cafeteria plan person. And I know we've not talked about this, but it's something that dawned on me at lunch. And I think he's going to be fine doing that. He'll just have to redo what he's done with those new dependent costs, if you choose to raise the dependent cost during this meeting. But that is something that I'm going to have to get back with him and coordinate with him to get that done, so that you're in compliance with how the salary reduction agreements are situated. But yeah, I do think it's important to look at maybe gradually increasing those dependent costs a little bit this year, and maybe get a pricing comparison of some other counties, possibly the city, and also to get UMR to give you price equivalency guidelines. They're very good about doing that, and just let you see if you were, the way we compare this to is like if you were a fully insured plan. So if you were, a plan where we were just going out and not being self-funded, insurance carriers will give you pricing comparisons so that you can see, okay, this is how much we would charge if you were fully insured, because that is how they pay of the claims for you in that situation. Kind of gives you a little bit of something to go for, but that's definitely something I would suggest doing as we move forward in this next year.
And when you suggest that we do that, how would I go about that? Would I ask you to get those?
We can get those for you. And again, it's not, you don't have enough time this year. Time is ticking on that clock. So I'm saying this as generally just making that statement that I think it might be something that would be worth your while to get, and we'll get that information for you. Maybe set up a workshop, maybe sometime in the spring, to look at things that you can do, maybe just gradually having a target and increasing a little bit as a time until you can get there.
That's the one document I did not bring, was that list.
I've got the list. Do y'all, I made a copy of it. You want me to make you a copy, Jess, so you can see it?
Can I, will you just,
yeah.
Will you just rip it up?
Yeah. I don't have it, but if you'll let me move forward with that.
How much time do I have to go? Thank you for that. Gentlemen, you remember we had this discussion. We talked about increasing the employee contribution for their wife and kids, husband and kids, either or both. What would you like to do at this time? We had talked about a 15% increase to each of those.
$15
across the board at each of those levels. One level includes a spouse only, one is a spouse and a child, one is a spouse and children only.
Then you can only do that.
Yeah, that's right.
constitutes a change.
But if you just change your mind, you can only do that once a year.
Right.
But now, but like Chelsea, she got married, and her husband's going to be able to put her on start in February. So when hers can go effect, then I can drop mine off in February.
You've got 30 days from the date of the marriage to make that change if you choose to. If you don't want to make it during open enrollment, then you can wait till the marriage date and then change it after she becomes married. Otherwise, it sounds like she would be not covered for a month.
Well, no, she's already married.
Oh.
But he can't put her on there for 6 months or something?
Well, no, he won't be able to get her on there and get her started. They already got married, and he missed his enrollment date, so his next enrollment date is February. And I've done more of them. I'm pulling her off of mine. I think legally, can we pull her off of mine? He's going to have to do it.
Yeah, but legally, they should have allowed him to pick her up because that was an unusual.
Exactly. That the marriage.
They shouldn't have made him one.
So in February, when her starts, he signed her up, it won't start in February. Can I drop her off of mine in February? I think so.
Y'all have a rule about marriage to met children?
I don't know. Let me see. I'm sure.
Okay. Yeah. Generally, there's a rule about married children. And when she became married, she probably should have come off of this group. We'll talk. This needs to be a conversation later.
And you're going to begin the process of enrollment. Realistically, when will this
happen? I have looked at my schedule and already kind of moved some things, and I've spoken with the auditor this morning. We're going to need to get people who are in charge of banking administration, y'all's people together with us, are going to have a meeting with UMR, and that is quite a lengthy meeting, about like a kind of like a workshop. But they have said that they could be here on Friday if we could make that work, and then I have kind of squeezed out a couple of days next week. Next Thursday and Friday for enrollment of here. So if that'll work with y'all, if not, then I'm gonna have to change some stuff around.
Well, we hired you late in the year. We knew this was gonna be a tough time to get this done. We appreciate the effort getting it done by our people as well as yours. And next year we will have the luxury of having a whole year to build up towards this. All right, we have a motion. Motion by Commissioner Hockaday and second by Commissioner Boggs to increase the employee responsibility $15 per month over the existing pricing at each level, one dependent up to five or more dependents. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? One more thing that we identified here is possibly an area that we want to look at. Item number 6, consider if possibly approve any changes to eligibility for employee spouses as it relates to our insurance. And here we are talking about possibly making the decision to not allow an employee's spouse to be on our insurance if that spouse is provided health insurance by their employer.
Okay, in the workshop we kind of, I think, punted this around a bit, and number one, I think y'all are probably gonna have to do a little bit more homework and see how that impacts your specific group. But just as a general statement, some larger employers have already made this move where they told their employees, okay, we'll cover you, we'll cover the kids, but if the spouse has a job that provides health insurance, then you need to go, then she needs or he needs to go over to that other plan. That's kind of a double-edged sword. I know we talked about it this morning kind of individually. In some ways we want as many people as possible to be on the plan, and if you're doing that, then you're kicking some off. On the other hand, you might be assuming some liability of somebody that might get sick and be on the plan when they didn't have to be. But of course, as Steve pointed out, I think, to Mr. Fields this morning, that could be any of us next year. So none of us have a crystal ball. We don't know this. We don't know what's going to happen. But I think you had, I believe, initiated some information that's going to be coming back to you to kind of give you some feedback on how that's going to impact your employees. I do think that's something you need to look at as the year goes by. I'm not really sure that's something that needs to happen now, simply because, as you pointed out, today's December the 3rd, and this enrollment is for effective date of January 1. Obviously, this cannot happen in that time frame. Can't kick somebody off in less than 30 days. But if you do, maybe, again, maybe in that workshop that we're going to have where we're talking about dependent costs, we talk about this as well, and after y'all have had a little feedback from your employees and just to see how that will impact y'all. And then maybe have that be something that the employees are made aware of in this next year, and they know if you decide to go on that route, that that's something that you implement at the next open enrollment. Gives them a full year to get there where they work, get on that insurance, evaluate the difference, you know, to kind of understand what they might have to be paying or the difference in the policies as the year progresses. So that's what I would suggest you do, is maybe not make that change just yet and evaluate that as the year goes by.
Stronger changes, but I'm happy to see us at least making some changes.